For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18. And we read the verses 7 through 22. Matthew 18, the verses 7 through 22. There we read God's holy word, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than over the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that in two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So far the reading of the Word of God. This evening we will study the second key of the Kingdom of Heaven. We read about this in Lord's Day 31, question and answer 85. Lord's Day 31, question and answer 85. How is the Kingdom of Heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Thus, when according to the demand of Christ, those who, under the name of Christians, maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, And if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden to use the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. Beloved congregation, the question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism we will deal with tonight is not one of the most favorite. It's about Christian discipline and excommunication from the Christian church. It's about censure, and we don't like this. Censure is related to church order, and some get quite annoyed by this, since they have no use for a church order, considering it to be a cult, it be cold and harsh. They consider church discipline an insensitive process which seldom generates any positive results. And maybe you know one of more examples of church cases which did not change anything, but rather expelled church members. The act of censure can look like a punishment and not an act of love. This evening, we will discover that neglecting church discipline is unspiritual and unmerciful. And we need to realize that Christian discipline is one of the two keys of the kingdom of heaven by which the door of the kingdom is opened and shut, is shut and opened. Last week we studied the first key, namely the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the full counsel of God. And we heard the solemn reality that if we do not enter through the opened door, which is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will meet a closed door in the day of days. And every Lord's Day we hear the creaking of the hinges. It is about our eternal well and eternal woe. The same can be said of Christian discipline. Christ uses the keys of the kingdom by giving the church the preaching of the gospel and discipline. And the Lord Jesus gives a clear instruction about discipline. It's not an invention of the church. It is an ordinance of Christ with the goal that a sinner is saved from the wrath to come. And we write above the sermon the key of church discipline. Two questions. First of all, what is it? And secondly, how does it work? The key of church discipline. What is it? How does it work? Last week we studied the necessity of entering the door of the kingdom which is opened under the preaching of the gospel. I have explained the meaning of the key and in what way the key carrier uses it. Under the preaching, a door is opened and shut. And we have seen that serious matters are at stake. It's about our eternal destination. It's about the question whether we are inside the kingdom of God or still standing outside. We are either inside or outside the kingdom of God. And this theme returns in Scripture time and again. Throughout the whole of Scripture, we read about two ways. Either we walk on the way of righteousness, or we walk on the way of sin. In principle, we have either entered the kingdom of heaven, or we are still standing outside. As it were, during our whole life, we hear a door being opened and shut. So it was in the days of Noah. Over 100 years, Noah had preached and warned the people to repent. God would destroy the world with the flood. And on the day that the flood came, the Lord shut the door of the ark for Noah and his family. And all others were standing outside the ark. Recall the history of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. God would overthrow these cities by sending brimstone and fire. Lot and his family were taken out by the hand of an angel. Lot's wife, however, looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah, which the Lord had emphatically forbidden. And by her disobedience, she became a pillar of salt. She remained outside. She was lost together with the inhabitants of the cities. I can also point to the parable of the Great Supper. Many were invited to the supper. There were only a few who accepted the invitation. Most stayed away. They remained outside. And when the door of the room was closed, they were not allowed to enter in anymore. They did not partake of the supper. As long as you are standing outside the kingdom of heaven, you are still under the dominion of sin and Satan. And when you have entered the kingdom of heaven, you are under the dominion of King Jesus. It is a matter of either or. It is not possible to stand with one foot in the world and the other foot in the kingdom of heaven. Question and answer 85 of the Heidelberg Catechism is not about secondary matters. This is about life and death. Do we belong to the kingdom of God, or do we still belong to this world which passes away? And maybe you wonder in what way Christian discipline can be a key by which the door of the kingdom is opened. Because that is the purpose of censure. The purpose is to draw back those who have locked themselves out from the kingdom by persisting in their sinful lifestyle. You should know that the etymology of the word which is translated to discipline has a deep meaning. The original meaning is drawing. You need to picture a person who draws someone. Like we read in Jeremiah about the Lord. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Well, this is the essence of Christian discipline. To put someone under censure does not mean that you want to get rid of that person. No, on the contrary. You want to draw someone back into the kingdom of heaven. And the impenitent sinner is drawn by the powerful love. He is drawn by censure in order to protect him from worse. The obstinate sinner walks at the edge of the abyss. And by the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he's drawn with the purpose to save him. Just recall the examples from Scripture I just mentioned. Noah is called the preacher of righteousness. He has preached so that people would repent from sin. Because one day the door of the ark would be shut. And what about Lot? The angel of the Lord took hold of his hand and brought him outside the city. He was a brand plucked from the fire. The fire, however, did come down on Sodom and Gomorrah. I also mentioned the parable of the Great Supper. The servants carried out their master's command exactly and promptly. And they compelled people to come and to dine. They used strong persuasion. They were driven by the love of their master. But at a certain moment, the door of the room was shut. That is what church discipline looks like. Driven by the love of God, people are compelled to enter the kingdom in order to be saved from eternal damnation. The Lord so loves this world. This determines the seriousness of his invitation to enter in. Therefore, we hear serious warnings to those who remain impenitent. The Lord invites and draws them with his love. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. It is a serious message. And when the Lord Jesus comes back to take his church home, all those who remain disobedient will be locked out forever. That is what is called the key of Christian discipline. The Lord sends a powerful appeal to your heart. And the key of discipline is an appeal to the heart. It's a serious appeal from God's heart of love. God has no pleasure in your damnation. It pleases the Lord to save lost sinners. And he has the right to all his creatures. Discipline is a means to warn people who are already to be slain. Who are ready to be slain. Escape the coming damnation. But what does excommunication from the Christian church mean? It means that someone is placed outside the communion of the church. You hear the creaking of the hinges and the door is shut. No, never to be opened again. Please don't get wrong idea now. The door is shut with the purpose that the person who stands outside will realize the terrible condition he is in. It is a serious warning for a person who remains impenitent. If you do not repent, you will stay outside forever. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You will accompany the five foolish virgins who knocked at the door and called out, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And then he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Keep in mind whose hands the keys of the kingdom of heaven are placed in. They are in the hands of Christ. So the key of the Christian discipline is in the hand of the Lord. He is the Lord who has left behind the heavenly glory and descended to a world that reeks of sin. He came into this world in order to save sinners. He so loved his Father's justice and his people that he went the way of suffering and death. And if you remain outside the kingdom of heaven, then it is clearly your own fault. The keys are in the hands of Christ. This also means that you hear a serious appeal again today. To all those who are standing outside, you are warned and at the same time lovely invited. Return, you backsliding children. The person who is excommunicated from the Christian church is urged to return. The door is closed so that he will knock on the door and cry for mercy. And Christ is there where the keys of the kingdom of heaven are faithfully used. Where you hear a door being opened and a door getting shut by the preaching of the gospel and the Christian discipline. And woe the churches which do not use both keys. If you don't hear a door getting opened and shut under the preaching of the gospel, and if there is no mutual oversight in the congregation, then you will not meet Christ. In these churches, you can hear about Christ, but you will not meet him, because Christ is the key carrier, and he opens and shuts. He shuts and opens. Some people believe that our church is too strict in some areas. Some people don't like to be labeled as a strict person. We should not be afraid to be too strict as long as we seek to live in accordance to God's word. The truth of God's word will never change. We need to keep the unchangeable truths. But there's more. We also need to live in accordance to these truths. We need to strive against our sinful lusts. We need to mortify our indwelling sins. We need to know the grace of God which He revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. A spiritual life is focused on God's word and looks forward to the fulfillment of all God's promises. And therefore, spiritual life is known by a daily fight against sin. You need to know the full counsel of the Lord. Both eternal well and eternal woe are proclaimed to you. You hear a rich invitation as well as a serious warning. You are not well advised. If an elder or minister tells you, it's up to you, let everyone have his own truth. We should leave each other free in that. You bear your responsibility, I bear mine. Congregation, this is so unmerciful, since you are given over to destruction if you may choose your own truths. Our doctrine and lifestyle need to be in agreement with each other. If we sin against God's commandments in public, then we need to be admonished to repent. And when you are warned and admonished by God's word, then you should bow before the Lord. And if you remain obstinate, then you cannot blame the Lord. Then the Lord will answer you, you would not. You have neglected the many warnings. Today you meet the Lord Jesus in the preaching of the gospel. When he implores you, be reconciled to God. He is the same who wept over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as an hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This is the Lord Jesus' disposition towards a child of the covenant who does not repent. Will you never forget? I hope you understand that Christian discipline has nothing to do with just rules and strict measures, but with love and with the drawing power of the Lord. The purpose of censure is to let a person come to himself. The purpose is someone's repentance and restoration. The focus is on the blessing that may result from censure. This is also reflected in the way censure has to be applied. Let us read answer 85. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden to use the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. The Christian discipline is applied to those who belong to the covenant of grace. It's a privilege for all baptized people. Yes, a privilege. People who belong to the covenant are those who are called Christians. We read, those who under name of Christians. Are you called a Christian? When you were baptized, the Lord signed and sealed that his name is connected to your name. In a way, you are called after the name of Christ, because a Christian is someone who belongs to Christ. That is not the same, understand me well, that is not the same as being engrafted in Christ in the way of regeneration. To belong to Christ means that the Lord Jesus has the right to be king over your life. He has set you apart. You are sanctified in order to serve the Lord. Our Belgic confession calls this the ensign and banner of baptism. This terminology is derived from the military. Let me try to picture it for you. Everyone who is baptized is wearing the uniform of the army of Jesus Christ. And you are his subject. And he requires obedience. And he calls you, I am your king. Are you willing to be my subject? You will receive all the blessings of King Jesus when you repent from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, imagine that you belong to the army of King Jesus, but that you run over to the army called self, world, and devil. Then you are a deserter. Then you are in big trouble. You serve a king which you not ought to serve. You walk in the army camp of the enemy with a uniform of King Jesus. What should be done with such a soldier? He should be disciplined. Hey you serve in the wrong army. You belong to Prince Emmanuel. And confessing members certainly belong to those who are under the name of Christians. The person who has made confession of faith has publicly professed that he eagerly wants to serve King Jesus. He has willingly subjected himself to the Lord. You have confessed that the Lord has the right to you, and you have promised to first seek his kingdom. Well, if the lifestyle of a confessing member contradicts his confession, then this will cast shame on the Lord and his church. If you are baptized, and maybe you have made confession of faith, but you show in your daily life that the service of the Lord is not the most important thing, then you actually display to your neighbors that the service of the Lord is worth nothing. The service of the Lord is not attractive, since it does not capture your whole heart. You show yourself to be a servant of another king, namely yourself, the world, and the devil. Do you realize that we stain the name of the Lord if we live a sloppy life? You stain the name of the Lord when you attend places where you don't belong, since you are baptized. You are ridiculing the name of the Lord. You show to others that there is no power and authority with the Lord. Otherwise, you would live differently. You belong to Christ. And therefore, it cannot be that you live as if you do not belong to Him. You are in the covenant. Have you made confession of faith? But is your life not in accordance to this? Don't you know that you are grieving the Lord with your impenitent lifestyle? Don't continue life in this way. Repent before it is too late. And for this reason, censure needs to be used. It's a key by which it pleases the Lord to draw people back from their wandering ways. By this it pleases the Lord to save people from eternal destruction. How should Christian discipline be applied? How does it work? Now we have come to our second thought. How does it work? Should we answer this question by studying the three steps of public admonition of excommunication, as we read in Article 77 of the Church Order? Well, this is not the first thing we should study. The application of the suspension from the Lord's Supper and excommunication doesn't occur often. And one of the reasons is that other steps need to be taken prior to this. What kind of steps? Well, the first step starts with self, namely personal discipline. Personal discipline. What is personal discipline? It means that every baptized member of the congregation should examine himself whether his life is in accordance to God's will. All aspects of life should be under his dominion. In all aspects of life you should ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is this the way I should spend my money? Is this the boy or girl thou wantest me to marry? Is this the way I should raise my children? How can you know? By subjecting yourself to God's holy law. God's law is the safe fence behind which you can live in accordance to His will. And God's word is a mirror which honestly shows you who you are and what God requires from you. Do you look into this mirror? Did you already discover that no good lives in you? This is an humbling lesson you need to learn time and again. In this way, you become dependent on the Lord. And to the extent you know yourself, your judgment of others will become milder, since you discover yourself in the sinful lifestyle of others. What else does personal censure involve? Well, that you will turn from sin. The Lord Jesus gives a practical lesson in the portion we read this evening. If your hand causes you to sin, then what should you do? Cut it off. And what should you do if your eye causes you to sin? Pluck it out and cast it from you. Because it is better to enter heaven with a body part missing than to be cast into hellfire healthy. Should we understand this literally? Probably not. It is very specific and practical. At any rate, we should not be too soft on ourselves. And maybe you and I need to pluck out some things. Not your hand or eye, but maybe other things. Maybe you should delete some pictures, chats, or lose contacts. Maybe you should stop listening to certain kinds of music or limit your time on social media. By the way, this is not only addressed to young people. Maybe you reduce your working hours since you have no time or energy to study God's Word. Examine yourself and get rid of all things that are not in accordance to God's will. And when your heart is filled with the love of the Lord and your eyes are opened for the vanity of this world, you want to get rid of sin. This is what we call conversion. The Lord shows you your sin and commands, stop with it. Do you know what entices you every day? Do you surrender to the Lord with the prayer, Lord, take away all the hindrances to serve Thee? Take it all away so that I may walk in Thy path. And the door was shut. If today the door were shut forever, where would you stand? Inside or outside? And what about your children or grandchildren? Have they ever heard from you what is the most important thing to know? Beside a personal excommunication, there is also a self-examination. Beside a personal examination, there is also a mutual examination. The Heidelberg Catechism summarizes this with the words, after having been often brotherly admonished. We hear from Scripture the Lord Jesus saying, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall trespass against thee, this means that you have seen or know that someone commits sin, a public sin. What should you do? In any case, not talk about it with others. Don't tell others what you have seen or heard. We should act like David after Saul was killed, as we read into Samuel 1. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Don't gossip about it. What then? Should you leave it alone? No. That would be very unmerciful. Imagine that you see a man intending to cross an unattended railway crossing. You see a train coming and you notice that the man does not sense that a train is coming. What should you do? Well, you warn him. You call him, watch out! Of course you would do that. Now what should you do if you see someone trespassing? Well, you should follow the rule given by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 18. You should go to him and talk to him. You have to warn him since he is in danger. You first talk to him privately. And maybe you respond, but I'm afraid. I think I'm not capable to do this. But listen, this is about the well-being of someone's soul. And above all, it's Christ's command. Are you afraid to lose a friendship or respect? No, I don't assume that it is always easy to approach someone. A person can scold you. It can cost you a friendship. Someone can laugh at you or rebuke you that you should pay more attention to yourself. It can be. However, the honor of Christ comes at a price. And the Lord has said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Then you cannot but go to seek the salvation of the other. And I understand that you will visit the other with much fear. You are in need of wisdom and humility. You have nothing, but you have nothing to fear if you come in the Spirit of Christ with love and compassion. Do you know someone in the congregation who is unfaithful in attending church? Do you know someone who has an offensive lifestyle? You should meet with that person. His or her soul will be required from you. It will be required from you if you do nothing. You share in the guilt of the other. What if the person does not listen to you? You should go again and in confidence take someone with you. This second person will witness that you have admonished the other in love. And if the admonished person does not give heed, then the matter should be reported to the consistory. If we neglect these very important steps, the following steps will not make any sense. If we neglect mutual oversight as a congregation, the next steps will lose their authority. Let me try to explain this. When we examine ourselves and admonish each other privately in a biblical way, you will sense the love of Christ in the midst of the congregation. It will be experienced that the congregation functions like a family. But this love will fade away if we bring gross sins to the consistory right away, or if we neglect the sins of the other. But if love fades away, the next steps of censure will lose its power. If law fades away, a person put under censure will experience a lack of love and fellowship in the congregation. Self-examination and mutual oversight is the first form of censure. And if this functions well, you will sense the congregation to be a big family. And you sense that if one member suffers, all members suffer. And if one member sins or errs, then all members will suffer, because it stains God's glory and the well-being of the congregation. And the well-being of the congregation will be sensed if we are governed by love. But if we turn a blind eye or think that it is not our business, then we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when a case has to be brought to the consistory and the sinner does not repent, then after many, many admonitions, the procedure of excommunication will at last be carried out. And the purpose of this is that the sinner will sense that he misses the love, joy, warmth, and peace of the church family, a gift granted by Christ. The purpose is that he will come to himself and return like the prodigal son. That is the biblical meaning and goal of Christian discipline. But if a sinner has never sensed any love of the congregation and has never experienced the peace in the congregation granted by Christ, but rather discontent, gossip, suspicion, and distrust, then he will probably not listen to the admonition, but rather resign his membership. But what a blessing if we are a congregation where the love of the triune God is tangible, where we don't gossip, but seek each other in love. What a blessing if the love of Christ constrains, compels you. We live in the last days. Time is short. And King Jesus deserves to have more subjects enrolled under his banner. There is love in the midst of the congregation, I know. But if we examine ourselves, we all should confess that we fall short. Your pastor and consistory the most. How many times, congregation, how many times do you pray for brother A or sister B as they go astray? How often do you wrestle with the souls of the congregation before the Lord? It will be shown in the way we communicate with each other. If we don't talk to each other or are not interested in each other's well-being, then there can hardly be a mutual oversight. We may have our weekly worship services and a prayer meeting during the week. The fruit on God's word will be less if we don't interact with each other in accordance to Matthew 18. What is the purpose of this all? Well, let me summarize it in 3 points. First of all, that the name of the Lord will be glorified. God is holy. He admonishes the church, sanctify yourselves and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And every case of censure has a focus on God's holiness, on God's honor and glory. It's not about man. neither about our opinion. Do we care for this sanctification of our lives because of the honor and glory of God? If so, then we will also be concerned about the salvation of other members in the congregation. The second purpose of the Christian discipline is the salvation of the congregation. Paul says in Galatians 5 verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It will affect the whole congregation. The whole congregation, if we don't use the key of Christian discipline. If we are weak in spiritual matters, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And that can be a reason of a lack of spiritual growth. It will affect the congregation if we don't understand something of the heinousness of sin. Sanctification, congregation, sanctification is an ornament of the church. An ornament of the church. We read a shocking story in Acts 5 about Ananias and Sapphira. They both kept a big lie. And with this lie, they blasphemed the good reputation of the young congregation. And both members fell dead to the ground. And this account is a serious warning for us. The Lord will visit the congregation with His displeasure if we indulge and accept sinful lifestyles and errors in the congregation. The third purpose of Christian discipline is the salvation of sinner. God's honor and the salvation of sinners are closely connected. God's purpose is to save an obstinate sinner. Every admonition is to save the sinner. And if necessary, the sinner will be excluded from the Christian church so that he will see his need of the Lord of all mercies. So the purpose of excommunication is the restoration of the sinner. God has no pleasure at all that the wicked should die. God seeks the salvation of the sinner by using the keys. And if a person will not repent under God's word, then the Lord will hedge up his way with thorns. That means that the Lord will withhold his blessings so that a person will repent to the Lord. If we experience little spiritual life, we should not complain, but rather bend our knees before the Lord. Because God has to expend much labor into getting an obstinate sinner subjected to Him. Tonight the sermon was about a door that shuts by the use of Christian discipline, and it will be opened if the sinner shows genuine repentance. In Jesus Christ, a door is opened for wretches, for unworthy sinners. And all those who still live without the personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ are admonished to repent and to believe. The door is still open. And this door will soon be shut once and for all. And then it is forever too late. The name of the triune God is signed and sealed on your forehead. If you have made confession of faith, His name was on your lips as well. His name is a holy name. A holy name of a holy and majestic God. There is only one appropriate response to Him, namely to surrender to Him and to pray for His mercy. In Jesus Christ, you find the door of his kingdom opened. Amen.